All right, then. Okay, so let's see. I thought some, never mind, I thought someone came in, but.
Number four.
Oh, yeah, I was like, I knew I saw someone walk by. Is that done? Okay, should we go ahead and do that one now then?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect timing.
Good, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to come in or.
Yeah, I saw, I was like, I know I saw her.
Yes.
Okay, so we are now on section four, administrative review of previous actions, and we are on item number 12, 23148, in regards to Heather Owyan, DVM, board may review, discuss, and take action on the respondent's proposed changes to consent agreement that is offered. Thank you for being here with us today, and Mr. Lohi, you are the lead on this.
Thank you for having me.
Basically asking for.
I also brought these, the mortgage agreement. I brought copies of everything.
Thank you.
This is the new
we can, do you want to have her start by, she could walk through what her proposed changes are going to be.
Okay. You all get my letter, my proposed counter.
Right, so it sounds like you're talking about switching to a mobile type practice and closing down your building. So where are we at as far as notification to the landlord?
Well, that's what to the contract. I brought a copy of my.
Okay. Sorry.
No, that's okay. So my plan is to give notice. I put a call in to him on Monday. I've not heard back from him yet. But my plan is to do that now. And he has asked for 60 days to, you know, make changes and re-rent the building or do whatever he's going to do with it. And I figured that would give me time to transition to let current clients know if they want to continue with the house call or if they want to have records sent elsewhere. And okay. Just want to
so you're, you were going to wait until after today's board meeting, though, to actually.
Well, my concern was, you know, with the license suspension and probation, my concern is how that's going to affect my future ability to work as a veterinarian. So I'm not sure I want to make a big change going forward without knowing how that stands.
Okay.
So I've thought about doing this for a while. It's just been extra busy and it's been hard to stay caught up with all aspects, obviously. And I don't want to do anything to jeopardize my license. So I feel like I'm making some pretty big changes to make sure that doesn't happen.
Okay.
Is it the, may I ask a question?
Sure.
So it's the probation that is of your concern?
Well, I feel like the suspension is gonna hinder my ability to,
okay.
To make
suspension.
This transition. And
okay.
The probation as well. I feel like if I have a practice monitor moving forward and can make sure I, you know, follow everything in my agreement, I feel like that's I'm making a big step to make sure I stay.
Yeah,
Madam Chair, members of the board, just as a reminder, so the suspension piece of it was basically to give her time to get things in order.
Right.
While the
yeah.
practice was still open, if she stays open for 60 days, she still has the problems.
Right, right, exactly.
And unless she could describe to us what actions you've already taken since you this has all happened to address the issues. That
correct, correct. So, and I noticed in the letter that you wrote me that I hadn't sent the controlled drugs, expired controlled drugs, all of them. As I had said in the previous letter, I sent the first batch. They do it by box, and we filled the first box, and then we got on the quarterly program. So we don't have enough to quite fill the second box yet. So I was waiting until we did that, because it's quite pricey. So, and I sent the oldest stuff in first, just thinking that would be the best way to do it. So I've been working on that. I feel like I've made great progress in cleaning the practice has been thoroughly cleaned. And I'm just trying to stay current with practice keeping, getting caught up and staying caught up.
Have you found a place for your cat, for the cats?
Well, and that's the other thing. Like in the consent order, it makes it sound like there's cats running all over the clinic. There's three cats that live there, and they've lived there since they were babies. And so it's not like they're roaming all over. One, nobody even sees. He hides in the back usually until we're closed. So I just feel like things have kind of gotten, you know, there was a box of Cheez-Its by the autoclave, and I don't think that's a huge deal in the grand scheme of things. And I feel like it's just becoming more and more and more like, what's the primary problem that you guys have? Is it because I have cats that live at a vet clinic? Is it because it's a small clinic and it's a little bit cluttered? I feel like I'm one person at the end of the day, and with short staff, it's hard to stay caught up.
My concern is what I hear, I'm hearing in response is you minimalizing the problems that have been found with your premise.
I feel like I just don't know what the primary problem is. I just don't know what, I guess I don't understand what the primary problem is. I mean, there are cats that live there, but I'm not the only practice that has cats that live there.
So I don't know that you're here to hear this case.
Right.
You need to focus on.
Right.
So I very much enjoy being a veterinarian, and I'm struggling to do both a practice owner and be a vet.
No, and that's where I'm a little concerned,
yeah.
though, is
right.
So, I mean.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
My thought is, with a house call practice, it'll be easier to limit the amount that we schedule. We won't be able to have people walking in, and overwhelm my staff by wanting to get in and getting upset. And sometimes they just come in with their pets. And it can be overwhelming when they're upset. And so I feel like if we have a phone scheduler, that's all they do is schedule appointments, we can make a more realistic schedule. And you know, each visit, each client gets a copy of their pet report. So there won't be any, you know, getting backed up on not getting charts written up. Lab results, I'll get a copy of that. Just do it a little differently. Gonna have to schedule less appointments to make sure we stay caught up with that, but I feel like that's what I need to do at this point.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm confused at what you're referring to as house call. Are you talking about going to a mobile premise?
So go to the patient's house, the client's home.
Yes, a mobile practice.
It's
a mobile practice. So it'd be a new premise license.
Right, but for a vehicle that does the mobile.
It doesn't matter whether you walk or a bicycle or a truck.
It's
a different, it's a mobile premise instead of a brick and mortar.
I won't be doing surgical procedures. I won't be doing, you know, anesthetic procedures. I'll be doing exams in the patient's house.
That was okay. So the house is not the premise. So maybe I need some help from staff here. If the premise is not a mobile vehicle, then what is the premise?
The Madam Chair, members of the board, the law defines the home base of the premise license to be where the medical supplies, equipment, and medical records are kept.
And where is that going to
be? So that would probably be your home.
Right.
I would imagine that most house call, we'll call it that, veterinarians, it's their home.
It's the veterinarian's home or the pet owner's home?
It's the veterinarian's home where they keep all their supplies and drugs and medical records. So that's where it would be based.
But I won't be seeing patients there.
Correct.
I will just keep my supplies there.
Right. You wouldn't be able to with an open unit.
Thank you for clarifying, because I was
confused. And then, You know, I know you wanted to have a number of things, you know, the fine reduced or taken away. I feel it's important to continue with the practice monitor piece. I realize that's an expense and it would be more limited, but
I feel like, you know, it sounds like they can be very helpful, and I think that would be a good thing.
Okay.
You know, if I can get some guidance, some tips on how to moving forward, I'm fine with that.
And just because being a veterinarian that's been in practice and can see how easy it is to get overwhelmed, What do you think is preventing you from saying no today? Because that doesn't really change with a mobile practice, right? I did mobile for a long time, and it's like, okay, I can take one more. Let me drive across town and do one more. And guess what? You're back in the same boat that you're in today. You could say no to walk-ins today.
Yeah, that's true, and that's a good question. I feel like I will have, without doing surgery, without, you know, dispensing meds and having people come in for food. But like, my staff gets overwhelmed when I do too, but my staff, when people are, you know, they're just like, and they bring it to me and I don't know what to tell them. And I feel like if I don't have to have, how do I want to word this? I feel like if the staff that I work with, my tech, my assistant going out with me, if they're not the ones that have to talk to the people and talk to the clients, they'll be less overwhelmed and be able to more focus on what they're doing in their job. And that will help me, and like I said, I plan to have a phone scheduler that's her sole job is scheduling. And I think it will be easier for her not going out and seeing the clients and patients to be able to realistically set what we can see on a daily basis. You know, I do take this very seriously, and that's why I want to do everything I can to make sure I don't end up back here. And I feel like right now I have to limit my practice to what I can realistically take care of with limited staff.
You're still have, I mean, you're talking about doing a mobile practice, but I think you just named you'd still have three people working for you. I mean, we're not really reducing.
Well, I have to have, not out traveling with me, but I have to have someone probably, you know, to help schedule and appointments,
right,
and then a tech to help me, you know, handle the kitty most of the time.
Okay.
I won't be doing surgery and that type of thing, but probably blood draws and, you know, maybe some sedation for patients. So, you know, if we'd schedule a few a day, you know, at the end of the day, everything, they're gonna get their records and I won't have to worry about that. And that won't be one more thing that's piling up and weighing on me.
Right. I have one
more
question.
Mr. Lovey, did you have anything in your notes?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead and ask a question.
Yeah, you mentioned keeping the records at the home of the pet owner, mm-hmm, and not at your residence. Is that correct?
Well, I will keep a copy of them too, but you know, the plan is to give them a copy of it either at the visit or at the end of, if we do blood work, you know, after we get that back, email them a copy of their record. So they have a report of what was done that day, exam findings, blood work, and you know, our plan going forward. So everything's done at the end of that visit for a pet.
But you're not relying on them for records retention?
No, I'll keep a copy of that, but I just figured, you know,
she's making the point that she will be up to date because she'll have to be to give them at the end of the visit, to give them their records at the end of the visit. It'll have to be updated right then and there.
Right.
And then she won't have a pile on her desk to do at night, every night.
No, but as far as records retention.
Yeah, it'll be in her house.
Right.
But what she's saying is this would,
I hear you,
this would be the impetus where it would have to get done. If you're gonna say, when I get done, I'm gonna give you a copy along with your invoice, then it's gotta be done before you get done with a visit, right? Right. And then, you know, she takes her copy home and.
So on the medical records. On the medical record topic, I saw in the letter that, you know, 60 days notice to the landlord allows people to get their medical records and things like that. Beyond the 60 days, they would still be able to get past medical records from you, even though you're operating as a mobile practice.
Yes. I know the records have to be stored, so I'll either rent a storage unit or, you know, find a place to keep them so they can still, you know, plan to keep the same phone number and everything so clients and email clients can get records.
And are all your records paper files? Are you going to transition?
That's the plan. I've talked with someone about getting medical records.
Paper files on a mobile unit don't work very well.
What's that?
Paper files on a mobile unit.
Yeah, no. I feel like I have to transition. So I've talked to someone that's done that for offices before. So hopefully we can, you know, I have things to figure out, and that's what I'm planning to work on during the next 60 days. why we're making this change.
So I don't have any, so since this, because this, when did we do this? In July or June?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate you being here today and being forthcoming. It's just there's a few items that, you know, I feel like we're dragging some of these pieces out. I mean, I think that,
the 30
you know, even
days
like the
could
suspension,
have been up
yeah, would have been
exactly.
over by
it would
now.
Have been
and so I guess if you had come to us today and said, I've given notice to my landlord and I'm, you know, going to be out, but now we have, you know, you have 60 days, and I, you know, that is, I want to work with you, and I, you know, but.
I, like I said, I put a call on him. It's going to have to happen. I was just hoping to have the background to call on if the house call practice, if it doesn't go well, people don't want to transition, you know, I have to make a living.
But see
and
that,
work
okay, but that,
but
you
I.
So now
I
you're saying, though, that you're going to maybe try, I mean, gosh, then you sound like you're going to try and do both. If the one doesn't work
no.
super well,
no,
then you're still going to have your brick and mortar. And how does that help us address what seems to be the underlying issue, which is just you and your staff are overwhelmed and overworked. And that's why, you know, we have the issues that we do. And so I don't, you know, I don't feel like you're kind of saying that you're going to close the practice, but then you just kind of saying, well, but if it doesn't, and again, if you don't have a plan for
right.
how to take your clients on a mobile practice, you know, to mobile, I, you know, if my vet closed up tomorrow, I still like to take them in. So I would probably find somewhere else to go to. And I mean, I'm just not sure. I'm a little concerned that this hasn't been thought out as far as how to take your, truly take your clients on board with this new journey that, you know, you want to beyond. And I understand financially you need to have that security of, but I,
well,
I don't know.
I have done, it's been a long time, but I have done house calls in the past when I first started the practice for clients. So I've done that, and I have a lot of clients that ask for it and I think would like it. I know not all of them probably will.
Right.
So that's why, like I said in my letter, I've got to write the letter and get that out to the clients, send the email. You know, it's,
but I wish you would have done that before coming here.
Right, right.
So that's where
I don't know. I mean, I think she came here to get guidance on whether that would be
and
acceptable. I mean, I'm sensing that she's asking for guidance or kind of our feedback on whether that would.
No, she said it right in the letter.
Yeah.
She wants to take the suspension off and lower the fines. So here's, let me take back control of my lead.
And probation.
Okay,
and
initially, because there wasn't any talk about transitioning to a different practice
right.
away from the brick and mortar, when this was put together, I had no problem, and that 30 days was to clean up that facility, assuming everything was going to continue there.
Okay.
Right? And that 30 days was to take the load off so people weren't walking in while you're trying to get that stuff done. That's what the 30 days is for, not a punishment, just a break to allow all that different stuff to happen because it looked like a lot of stuff needed to be done, okay? That's what the 30 days was for, not a punishment. The probation really doesn't do anything. Anybody's on probation until you pay the fines or whatever, and that's not gonna go away, and it doesn't affect your ability to practice at all. So I'm willing to amend this and do a stayed suspension, which is what we typically do. So if the consent agreement isn't followed, it can be suspended.
Okay.
But it's not until there is a violation, it's not. As long as the consent agreement is followed along, that stayed suspension follows the probation and whatever time frame, it's over with. And it doesn't prohibit you from doing any kind of practice whatsoever, the probation part of it. Or the states, if it's a suspension of state, that doesn't either. But it is it's a tool for us that we've already been through this, and we're in the fourth month, third or fourth, because we saw it, and then we had the informal, and then now we're at this point, right? So it's, you know, 3 or 4 months along this, we're dragging this out. it keeps us from having to repeat that drag out part again, right? Because if it's, because it's immediate. If the state suspension probation are on there, then immediately staff can just say, whoa, wait a minute, halt, time out, you're not seeing any patients, right? I mean, and we don't have to go through this 3-4 months of dragging things out. And so I have no problem changing that suspended 30 days to a state suspension. Okay. I have no problem with that. The fines, I have a little trouble. I don't know whether I would help you out as much as you want to be helped out, because for the majority of them, 18 violations, there's only $1,000 for those 18 violations, which could have been $1,000 a piece.
Right.
Right? So if you add that $5,000 could have been $22,000. But it's not. I don't mind taking off the $5,000 for the little stuff, but the 4 controlled substance violations are not going away. And those were put at the $1,000
each
max for a reason. Because those are priority things that we need to make sure never get out of control. And it looks like they did. On at least 3 different occasions, every time we came back to make sure, it's happening again, right? So that's why those were set at 1,000, and I wouldn't negotiate with anybody on those.
So before you do that, I would think you would want some proof that she's going to follow through with her plan.
Yes. Well, that is what I, if I can
yeah.
add to that, Victoria. Yeah. To stay the 30-day suspension for a 60-day period till she implements what she's talking about implemented. And it's if it hasn't been done in 60 days, then the 30-day suspension kicks in and she's got to get getting her act together, or she'll be back here again.
So can I just ask a question so I understand? So you want like proof that I've done what I've said in my letter today in 60 days?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that.
How do you feel about that, Jim?
I think that's more complicated than my way, but if it makes you feel better.
Right. I mean, she's agreeing to it.
You want to remove the things because this,
right.
the civil penalty was based on repeated violations,
right.
over
yeah.
multiple times, right? So they really weren't as penalties. And if she's, the reason you're considering taking them away is because now she's going to be removed from that environment, right? And then maybe those issues won't repeat themselves. But if she's going to stay in that environment, yeah, she should
yeah.
still have
yeah.
the civil penalties.
So if we can have the assistant AG correct me if I make any missteps, because I do not have a script written out for this. So I would amend the consent agreement.
So you're it's a motion.
Offer an amendment to consent.
So the consent
which
agreement
it's not signed.
Has not been signed yet.
Right.
Been,
yeah.
So amend the consent agreement as offered.
Yes.
Okay.
To.
And then this consent agreement is offered to suspend a stayed suspension for 60 days.
Right.
Or I'm inclined to say business days, right? And we're going to throw weekends in there. I mean, it's good. I don't know how, I didn't read the language of this.
Yeah. I think
boilerplate,
it didn't
you know.
Delineate,
calendar.
I don't think.
It's calendar.
Calendar, okay. So, can she give notice today or tomorrow? I mean, when's the clock start ticking? How do I word that when the clock starts ticking at 60 days?
Can I interject and say what she presented today just says that she was on a month-to-month thing, that there's nothing about the 60 days on here. Like, this infers that you entered into another contract. And I know you told me you weren't probably able to find that. So it's, you know, I'm just stating the fact that you're taking her word for it about the 60 days.
Well, I will tell you.
If it doesn't, it'll be more than that, Victoria, because if it doesn't happen in 60 days, her license gets suspended. Right? Isn't that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we still got to get it signed, right?
Right.
So.
But she agreed to it verbally, so.
We still got to get the signature.
I know.
So.
Go ahead.
All right, so. State suspension 60 days to end the lease and transition to mobile. Or the 30 days suspension goes into effect.
Yep. Okay, I think we need to clarify that. I saw a question. Council, possibly? The 30-day suspension, which is what's in there now, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes.
Is stayed for 60 days.
Okay, yeah.
Is what?
Well, no.
Okay.
Because if you stay that for 60 days, then that 60 days up, she's got 30 days suspension.
Not if she completes the plan.
Well,
if she implements what she's saying she's going to implement. I think it's time. This has dragged on so long.
Yeah.
We need to put some impetus, some timelines in here.
Well, I think. Tell me that. What if you just did it my simple way to begin with? State suspension with along with the probation, and then put the.
So the state's
the honey or the sugar on the other end, that if this all gets done in 60 days, this $1,000 for the 18 can come off. The other four for the controlled substance stuff, no.
But I'm not clear on what happens to the suspension.
Well, if she signs the agreement, it's not done in 60 days, then it's suspended.
Period,
yeah.
Okay.
So
we're removing
because it would be a violation of the consent agreement.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. So we're removing the 30-day suspension now, effective immediately, which was, right?
Effective when signed.
Effective when signed, sorry.
Yeah.
We're removing that.
Removing that, and then she can come back and request, if this is done in a timely manner, to get that $1,000 off for the other 18 violations, but the four at $1,000 each all stay.
Right.
The four controlled substance related stuff.
What would you require in the consent agreement for her to present proof of that?
The establishment.
She'd have to have the new premise license,
yeah.
Right?
For
the mobile clinic.
And the other practice closed?
Pardon?
And the other premises closed?
The other premise has to be closed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that premise license ended, terminated. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The brick and mortar premise is gone. The mobile premise license is done, right? Applied for, paid for, issued.
In theory, she could apply for the mobile unit license before she closes her practice.
Sure.
Yeah. Streamline it.
Yeah, she may want to do that. Yeah.
Okay. So, you're basically instead of your proposal is to stay the 30-day suspension and
take that away.
Yeah.
And have a stayed suspension for the length of the probation period.
Yeah, so if it's a one-year probation.
Like we usually do with every other.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a stayed suspension probation for 1 year.
Yes.
If, stay to be lifted in 60 days.
Well, I understand that.
No,
but if it's the state suspension probation for the entire 1 year, any violation
will result in a
suspension.
Right.
So we don't have to put any number of days there. If there's, because the requirement will be to be transitioned in 60 days.
Okay.
And a violation of that.
Okay, good. But the 60-day transition is
whether it was 30 days, 60, 75 days, wouldn't matter.
Okay.
A violation of it.
Why don't we just let her say what we should say so we can get done with this, because we're getting really late.
Okay, so it's a state suspension probation for 1 year with the first term of the state suspension probation being that within 60 days she shall have closed her current premises and filed a application for a new mobile premises.
Surrendered the first premise.
Surrendered.
And actually have
yeah.
the mobile premise.
Right.
Physically surrendered. The license.
The brick and mortar.
Right.
Premise license.
And
have the mobile premise license.
And have submitted an application for a new
application and paid fee for the new premise, correct?
Yeah.
For the new mobile. And are you, go ahead.
And since we're right here and we want to make this happen, instead of if not signed within 15 days of receipt, move this to formal hearing, if not signed before 5 p.m. today?
You have to give board staff a chance to write it.
Okay.
Right.
I'm just trying to move things along. We're all right here in the same room.
I understand. Okay, and then there was
the fine.
So, you're saying you want another sentence added to the civil penalty that if paid,
if the provisions of the premise transition are met, she can ask that the $1,000 civil penalty for the other 18 violations be removed.
Why does she have to ask again? She's already asked. Why can't you just say if the 60 days, whatever transition period is meant. Yeah,
move $1,000 to her. If that happens, that's removed.
Okay, yeah. So if within 60 days closes or surrenders, and submits total
$1,000 of $5,000
penalty,
it reduces it to $4,000.
Reduced to $4,000.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll keep the if not signed within 15 days receipt, then that would automatically start our 60-day clock.
Yep.
At the signature date, whenever that is, within 15 days, right?
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, she's got to sign it and return it to the board. So.
Yeah.
Can I just email that or fax it? It doesn't have to be sent.
Correct.
Okay.
So that is my motion, Madam
Chair. Second.
Madam Chairman.
Yes.
So I know we all want to keep the practice monitor, but do you want to change the language at all? Because it requires her from 20 days from the effective date of the consent agreement, which would be the day that I execute it, to submit the name of a practice monitor. So how this would all roll out as is that the practice monitor would do an audit of the bricks and mortar. Unless you change this language.
Yeah, so within, I would change that to within 30 days of the mobile practice starting.
Okay, so you just want the practice monitor to be related to the mobile
unit. But do we have to inspect the mobile unit too? Would that be part of the...
Well, I'm not planning on, at least initially, having like a van where I see the patients in when I go to their house.
I'm sorry, can you speak up, please?
Once you submit a premises application, then we're required to come and inspect you within 90 days.
Okay.
So even if it's at your house, we would still come out and inspect your vehicle and your place where all the equipment is kept. So would that be considered as part of, would it be after our premises inspection?
it sounds like it would be with the timing. Well, actually, we don't know.
Right.
We don't know
what we're gonna be.
What our inspection would be.
But could it be something in there that maybe 30 days after the board's premises inspection? Or was that, is that too loose?
So moved, exactly like you said.
That they conduct the audit?
Yes.
Yes, we could do that, and then they would also get the copy of that inspection.
Right, so if there was any deficiencies, she could still then say that, give her the opportunity to correct any potential violations, and then it would be up to the practice monitor after that to ensure that those have been corrected, and that moving forward, that there aren't any.
I like that. Okay.
So moved.
Second.
I heard the language.
Okay, so since we're changing this, let's do roll call. We have a motion and a second. Can we do roll call, Dr. James?
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Levy?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Okay, thank you for being here. I know this, yes. That was a lot, but you obviously you got a lot of things on your to-do list. But
if you do
have any questions, reach out to Victoria, and we'll just.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good luck.
All right, is everybody good to keep moving along here? Nobody needs a.
What happened to number five?
Break. Did you say what happened to number five?
Number five.
Oh
yes.
No, I know. That's.
Case 2378.
Okay. So we are on section number 3, number 5, 2378, regards to Sarah McMichael, CBT. Board may review, discuss, and take action on self-assessment submitted in compliance with the consent agreement. Review update on the board receiving drug testing results and may take action on other information presented. We are going to do this separate of item number 5, so let's. I mean, we're doing them together, I guess, but let's talk about the first one first, I guess. I'm the lead, but please feel free to jump in. So obviously when you read, we did put some stuff on late yesterday as far as her current employment, because you almost kind of need to read everything from newest to latest, because she gave that self-assessment. Sounded really great when she was, you know, working, and, you know, as manager at Goodwill, but now that has changed very recently. And so she is still employed with them, but she is now not a manager. She's a cashier, still doing, you know. So anyways, she wrote the self-assessment. If you read it, it sounds like, you know, the things are, you know, moving along for her. In that regard,
said celebrate.
What?
Said celebrate. Woo.
You know, but other than that, her testing results, and she's staying. You know, my understanding, all the other pieces are in place, right? So then you fast forward, and she unfortunately got her third now DUI.
Yep.
Which is pending.
I don't think it's all or anything. Except the first one that she has.
Yeah. You know, and obviously, I mean, girl, stop driving. But, you know, we get back to this. So we have all these things in place for her that she is following, and she is so honest. But she is still, from what we understand, not practicing in the field. And so I'm also kind of like, well, we have the court of law that is doing their piece of it, obviously, and she is not allowed to drive right now. You know, she doesn't have a license, I don't think. So, you know, we have so those two things kind of moving along, and I don't really know what else, you know, what more things to put in place. It's kind of where I'm at, and especially if she's not in the field, and you know, she needs to stay employed somewhere, and so I don't really know. I mean, obviously, I appreciate it. I will say, again, if you've read her most recent, which you might not have seen, she does state in there that she is starting a new, what does she call it, like a treatment plan, or to kind of further
you know, assess and understand her mental health issues as well as her marijuana use issue, which is, you know, of course she is legally allowed to use this, but she clearly recognizes that there is, you know, an issue with that. And so, again, you know, she's said that she's doing these meetings now upwards of 3 times a week. So please jump in.
Yes, yeah, I'm focusing on the substance abuse issues and the fact that that in essence, by having the misjudgment to drive under the influence of marijuana, I'm concerned about, does she also have the misjudgment to practice as a CVT under the influence of marijuana, if she's willing to risk her driver's license and drive under the influence, number one. Number two, this is a repeated relapse. Mm-hmm. And I would say, what does the addictionologist recommend?
Well, but she has medical marijuana. I mean, she's allowed, she's prescribed it. So I wouldn't say it's a relapse necessarily. I think it's a lapse of judgment, in my opinion, but that's what I get from
it's a trick. I mean, the thing that's hard about it is there.
You can become addicted to marijuana.
You can be prescribed oxycodone,
right.
You're still addicted.
Bingo.
So it's the same thing with other legal substances. Alcohol is legal, right? You can still be an alcoholic. So I think that what you're saying makes sense. The issue is that two DUIs are outstanding. So she hasn't formally been charged. I mean, stranger things have happened, and they can find fruits of the poisonous tree and toss one thing out, right? So, I mean, we can't really make a decision at this point. She's been forthcoming. She's told us what's going on. Now we're kind of have to wait for the process, right? I mean, I don't really have other.
I just don't know what else.
We haven't necessarily
waited.
She's
not practicing.
What additional things we would even add on there, though, anyways, so.
The requiring an evaluation.
Yeah, but, I mean, for what? I mean, she's going
substance
now.
Substance abuse.
Well, but she says she's doing, I mean, that was, again, her most recent email says she's going to
counseling. She's self-diagnosing, yeah. She put together her own treatment plan. I'd rather see one from a professional.
No, I just mean she's saying she was, I'm sorry, I don't have it pulled up, like that she was going to a place for these issues. So that, I mean, it wasn't.
Maybe they can submit a treatment plan.
But again, I think we know she has, you know, mental health issues and other things. So I'm just trying to figure out what the next layer is. I mean, for them to reiterate that she has, you know, she's still working through her recovery, clearly, but.
To me, the key part of getting that evaluation is what happens from now. What are the steps that need to be taken for that respondent to fully recover? And we don't have that for her.
But I don't. I think right now it's something that we need to be aware of, but there's nothing that we are moving forward on because two things are outstanding. So they're not even, she's self-reported right now.
Right.
She's not practicing. We already have something in place, so we might as well follow along. She's not hiding anything from us. We have contact with a probation officer, right? Her testing is getting increased now. So now it's like 2-3 times a week or something is what she's reporting?
It is, but we're still, and I can report on that. Okay. I'm at that as far as we don't get the results.
Yeah, which I'm concerned greatly. The drug testing is, as far as I'm concerned, within our consent agreements, is not an option. Do I do it? Do I don't? Do the board get the results or not? That is up to... It is up to the respondent to comply with the consent agreement. It's not up to us.
I don't understand why the probation office won't supply it, and why can't we force them to give us a copy?
Well, I think we're about there. So the lab has refused my request. I believe we have the right to subpoena the lab. I don't know if we have the right to subpoena the probation department, I've just been told from the probation officer that they can't give us the test, but directly, but that I could call them and they would tell me what the results are. which would be logistically difficult because I don't always know when she's being tested. I would have to call every day. That doesn't work very well.
It's not up to us to contact them to find out if they're compliant.
Okay, so.
Do the medical release, would they provide it if she approved them?
That doesn't seem to be the issue. If the lab believes that the owner of the test results is probation department.
Okay.
That's fascinating.
Which I don't understand because she's.
And probation, as the owner says, they're not going to give it to us, but we can call them for it, if I understand what you're saying.
That's.
So we need to subpoena.
That's where we are. So that's what if the board would like us to issue a subpoena for the lab, I believe we could do that, Beth. I'm not positive.
Technically, she is not currently in compliance with the consent agreement because we are not getting drug test results.
And she's aware. She and I had a.
I can imagine.
Direct conversation about that. And she feels she's done everything that she can, and I don't disagree with her.
Okay, so what do we have to do to get the subpoena? Do we have to do a motion? Or just direct staff to pursue?
Do we have to do a motion?
I think you can just continue the investigation to allow staff to subpoena the drug test results and then bring it back next meeting.
So move.
But then how would we continue to get them, though?
That's.
I mean, that's what we're supposed to get them through the.
Right.
Through the duration of her consent.
Right.
Well, I mean.
We don't want to have to subpoena every time, or once a month or anything like that.
So it's not my process. I understand the frustration. We can subpoena them and they, in the event that they comply with the subpoena, I don't know what their, exactly kind of what their rubric looks like, but we should get them going back and maybe the process becomes we subpoena them every 3 months. I mean, there's lots of workarounds, right? So, but let's see if we can get them and then we'll continue the investigation till next, to allow board and staff the opportunity to obtain those.
And again, Victoria, when you've spoken with her, has she, given any indication that she's still trying or interested to get back into the veterinary field? Or she sure seems like she has a lot on her plate at the moment as far as I can't imagine all her legal things going on. So, I mean, what do we know as far as?
I feel like she emails pretty regularly trying to be proactive and show good faith in that she's trying to do what she's supposed to do. The last thing I remember, there's some email where she says that she still hopes to go back into the veterinary field. Okay. And she had said that when she was here, too.
Right.
So that's her hope. But I don't know what's stopping her.
Perhaps having to,
share.
What's that?
Having wheels?
Well, that, but I mean, have to share it. Well, sharing on your job application, even, that you've
been charged.
You have three.
DUIs
and the last less than 2 years, that right there might be why she might be trying to. So I recognize that it's frustrating, but I just again don't really.
That I have a question, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
If, and this is of counsel too, is it an option for her to say and submit a written statement saying I'm no longer going to practice as a certified, as a veterinary technician?
Well, she could surrender, but what I'm hearing from Ms. Whitmore is that
she doesn't want to surrender.
She's not practicing, but that's, and then sometimes, that's a big ask, right?
Sure.
A lot of people's identity is tied up in their profession.
Sure.
So that's a big ask, so I understand that. But we can, board staff can for sure attempt to submit those drug test results.
Okay, so it's been a long day. Did we vote on that?
No.
Okay, you made a motion and we did the second.
Continue the investigation.
Yeah.
Okay, so, okay. Then all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes, so.